Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In our Bible readings today, we see a rather interesting contrast and comparison between Abraham in the Old Testament reading and Martha in the Gospel reading. Both of them had opportunity to serve guests who came into their home, and both of them eagerly set about that service, but we see that at least in the end, they both had very different attitudes about that work of serving those guests. And we read that Abraham was eager to show hospitality to those three men who came to his home as guests. It was customary, as we mentioned at that time, for a host, a homeowner, to be very hospitable and gracious to guests who came to his home, even guests that he didn't know at all, guests who were total strangers and maybe even foreigners just visiting in that land. Now, of course, as we said, Abraham may well have immediately recognized that there was something special about these three guests. He may have recognized right away that this was God himself coming to visit him. And we see that eventually, as we read on in the verses towards the end of this reading from Genesis 18, and in the following verses, we see that Abraham did come to recognize that this was God himself. And so he addressed him in that way, using God's own proper name, whereas in the verses of this reading, Abraham uses the general word for Lord, or could refer to sir or master. So whatever the case was for Abraham, whether he recognized that man as God and his angels or not, it was certainly customary at that time, and he was following that custom of being very gracious and hospitable. And so we see that Abraham really went far out of his way to treat his guests not only to a basic meal, but really to a lavish feast by the standards of that time. And so when Abraham goes into the tent to ask his wife Sarah to prepare bread for a meal for these visitors who had just arrived, he asked her to use 20 quarts of flour to make bread. Now, if you've ever made bread, or if you've ever bought a bag of flour, if you can do the conversion a little bit, approximately in your head, you know that 20 quarts is a ton of flour. If presumably the meal was just for those three guests and Abraham and Sarah themselves, that would have been way more than enough bread for just those small number of people. But the point that Abraham was making was by preparing way more than enough for these guests, he was showing them honor and respect and saying, eat as much as you like. There is more prepared than you could possibly eat, so eat up and fill yourselves, and don't worry about whether or not there's enough, because there is way more than enough, showing them great honor. And then Abraham himself goes out to the herd and selects or instructs his servant to select a young calf, which again was not something that they ate on a daily basis. They would not slaughter a calf and eat the meat of the calf every day. In fact, slaughtering a calf meant that calf would not grow to adulthood and be able to produce even more meat to eat or to produce more animals for the herd. So this also was a special, really a very rich meal that Abraham was preparing for these guests. And of course, as we compare that, think about the contrast to Martha and her hosting of Jesus and his disciples. We know that Abraham was a very wealthy man. He had hundreds of servants, and we see in this reading that it mentions that he had help with that work. If he himself didn't bake all the bread, he himself probably didn't slaughter the calf and roast it. It seems that he had his servant or servants do that work for him, and he asked Sarah, his wife, to bake the bread, and it's very likely that she also had help from servants with baking all of that bread. However, we see that as a good host, Abraham eagerly, personally, made all the preparations, all the planning for that lavish banquet. And then, when the food was prepared, he didn't sit down and eat together with those guests. Instead, he had them sit down and rest and relax and enjoy eating, while he stood on the side presumably to wait on them as a waiter. If they needed anything during the course of the meal, he himself, as the generous and polite host, would go and get what they needed. And now in the gospel reading for today from Luke chapter 10, we see Jesus at the home of Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus, whom Jesus later raised from the dead. Just as Abraham had done with those three guests who came to his home, we see that Martha welcomed Jesus. She didn't treat it as an imposition that he was there, but she welcomed him gladly into her home. And presumably, although the text doesn't mention it, presumably Jesus' disciples were also with him, probably at least the 12 and maybe others who were following along with Jesus to hear him teach. And so it was very likely that she may well have had dozens of guests in her home at this time. And so we read that she sets right to the work of being a good, polite, and generous, and gracious hostess, serving her guests. It doesn't mention all the ways in which she served them, but we can guess that just as Abraham had done, he brought water for his guests to wash their feet, to wash off the dust from the road, as was the polite custom of that time for guests coming into your home. So Martha probably at least brought the water and maybe even washed the feet of her guests herself. She probably brought something for them to drink to slake their thirst from their journey, either water or wine. And then, presumably, she set about preparing a meal for them to eat. Again, it may have been dozens of guests in her home that she had to prepare a meal for. Presumably, quite a lot of work to be done to prepare for that meal. And it doesn't mention that she had servants to help her in that work. Now, although she was glad and welcomed Jesus to come into her home and eagerly set about that work of serving as hostess at first, we see that later on she began to become rather upset with her sister Mary, who wasn't helping at all with that work of serving. Instead, Mary was just sitting there at the feet of Jesus, listening to him, not lifting a finger to help her sister with all of that work of serving these guests in their home. And that situation grew and gnawed at Martha and began to bother her so much that we read that she went up to Jesus, perhaps even interrupting his teaching, and asked Jesus to tell Mary to help her with the work of serving. And we read Jesus' reply to Martha. "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but one thing is needed. In fact, Mary has chosen that better part, which will not be taken away from her." Now, when we hear this account of Mary and Martha and Jesus at their home, we usually come to the conclusion that the moral of this account is that Mary knew what was of true value, but Martha was preoccupied with lesser important things. In other words, it is concluded that it's more important to be concerned about food for the soul than about food for the body. And certainly that is true. Within our busy schedules, we should definitely allow a proper amount of time for spiritual things, for hearing and reading God's word, for worship, for prayer, and for receiving the Lord's Supper. However, it's interesting to see this account of Mary and Martha contrasted and compared with the account of Abraham and Sarah being visited by God. We don't hear a word of complaint from Abraham or a hint of reluctance at sharing his wealth and preparing that huge, rich meal for those total strangers. Of course, as we mentioned, Abraham had a lot of help in preparing that huge meal, but he still fulfilled his role as the gracious host without complaint. And as we said, it seems that he was standing on the side as waiter while his guests were eating that rich meal that was prepared for them. But Martha, on the other hand, was not so content just to be a good hostess to her guests. We can imagine that as the time wore on and as she kept looking at her sister out of the corner of her eye, that she probably began muttering and grumbling under her breath as she watched her sister just sitting there and not helping her out with all those things that needed to be done. Or at least, if not audibly muttering those complaints, at least she was certainly thinking those thoughts, which led her to go up to Jesus and ask him to intervene. And we can imagine Jesus saying to her a little more colloquially, "Martha, does it really bother you that much to prepare dinner for me? If it does, perhaps you should rethink why you are doing it in the first place. You really don't need to be so anxious and worked up. In fact, so much of your preoccupation and worry is so unnecessary. If you would also sit and listen to me, I would give you food to eat that would satisfy your soul." And when Jesus speaks the words to Martha that we have recorded in our reading, we can also hear him speaking to us today as well. In addition to sometimes being too preoccupied with the things of this earthly life, as Martha was that day, worrying about what we shall eat and what we shall drink and what we shall wear and so many other things related to life on this earth, we also so very often find ourselves grumbling even while serving others, as Martha did. And even though we might not like to admit it, we even might grumble about things related to service in the church and service in God's mission. We may indeed serve in some way in the church and in the mission of the gospel, but at the same time, as we are serving, we may also complain either in our hearts or out loud about those who are not also serving together with us in that work. We might even complain in the same way about our worship service. We are here to worship God, to hear His word, to receive the Lord's Supper. Yet there is so very often the temptation for us to grumble and complain about why we have to be here while so many others are absent. Now, some people might recommend that if you can't serve with a smile, then you really shouldn't serve at all. But that's not really a great solution, especially when it comes to this context of serving God and serving others. Because to simply go on strike if you're not happy doing what you're supposed to be doing would only open the door wide to laziness. Nothing would get done. Nothing would be accomplished. Thus, for example, if somebody's not happy being at church, that person would not necessarily be any happier if he or she stayed away from church, and indeed they would actually be worse off for not having heard God's word and confessed their sins and received absolution by being here in church for worship. The solution to Martha's and our problem is to find joy in service, whether that is service to other people or service to God Himself in worship and prayer and praise. Think of Abraham. It says he was resting in the heat of the day, in the midday, when think about being in the Middle East, generally even hotter than it is here today on this hot and muggy day. Abraham interrupting his midday rest in the heat of the day, perhaps initially not even knowing who those strangers were who were standing there before him, yet gladly going out of his way to serve them. Last Sunday, we heard Jesus tell the story of the Good Samaritan. And Abraham, in his actions in our reading today from Genesis 18, is much like the Good Samaritan in his actions in that parable that Jesus told. However, Martha, even though she welcomed Jesus eagerly as her guest in her home, she was still not quite able to get away from focusing on the cost, the burden of that service. And that is ultimately what stood in the way of her serving Jesus with true and full joy in her heart. Now, it's not always easy to follow that example of Abraham. Our anxiousness and our preoccupations so often get in the way of joyful service. Like Martha, we so often worry about things and we get stressed out about the amount of work, and especially if it seems to be too much for us to bear. Even as we listen to the voice of God in His Word, our minds so often drift as we worry and think about other things that we should instead place into God's hands in faith, since we know that He already knows all of our needs. And since He has actually already taken care of all of our greatest needs, our spiritual needs for forgiveness and salvation. Because of what Jesus has already accomplished for us by His perfect life in our place and His innocent death on the cross in our place, everything has already been put into right order again for us. Therefore, the promise is given to us and to our children that if we seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness, all these other things, all the things that we need in this earthly life, will certainly be given to us as well by our gracious God. And so serving with joy is possible for us because of what Jesus has done for us. We can indeed be joyful people, joy-filled people. We are already indeed His joyful people because Jesus has removed any reason that we might have to worry or to be anxious about the things of this life. Jesus willingly went out of His way to serve. He didn't let the cost of completing that mission turn Him away from that goal, from the goal suffering and dying on the cross for us. That was His service to us. It was that service of Jesus to us that removed any reason that we might have not to serve Him or to serve our neighbors with joy. May God grant us true joy in serving, all for Jesus' sake. Amen.